This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Why We Need Friends, Especially Now. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. The main ingredients in good friendships are stability, positivity, and cooperation. But those also sound like the foundation for a good marriage or a romantic relationship. So what is the difference, and when does the line get blurred? Jets Lehman looked into this.
Steve Lehman was a college senior near Philly when he started to realize something wonderful and terrifying.
We were hanging out just like we'd always hung out since freshman year. And I would look over and I would just think, like, oh my God, I'm in love with one of my best friends.
He was looking over at Katya Shipiatsky, a senior at a different school. They'd hung out for a few years as close friends, but things were changing now.
There were multiple times throughout the semester where Katya and I were hanging out one-on-one. And each time I would have, like, the urge to tell her how I felt about her. And I stopped myself each time.
He was afraid. But again, this is senior year. Life is short. Things finally came to a head one night as Steve and Katya finished a Bruce Springsteen documentary on Netflix.
I thought, this is it. I have to say something. Like, I cannot let this movie end and not tell Katya how I feel about her.
It was just the two of them, in the dark, Netflix and Bare Your Soul. The boss said something beautiful about life and love to end the movie. Katya and Steve both cried as the credits rolled, and Katya was struck by how moved Steve was.
Yeah, I had never seen Steve cry before. And I'm not usually, like, a physical, like, touchy person. Like, I'm not super, like, touchy with people. But, yeah, I felt like I had to do something.
Meanwhile, Steve was seconds from telling her everything.
Like, it's now or never. And I looked over at her, and before I could even say anything, she reached over and took my hand. And I think if there was any doubt in my mind, like, that gesture totally erased it.
He remembers his voice was shaky.
I think my words were, I know this is gonna sound cheesy after, like, watching this, but I have to tell you that I had a huge crush on you.
It was one of the biggest, like, shocks in my life. I imagine my face looking something kind of like the little, like, surprise emoji.
She had no idea it was coming. He had no idea what she'd say. For Steve, it wasn't just garden variety rejection at stake here. Remember, this wasn't some cute girl shooting him down at a party. That's his friend sitting there. Cross-sex friendships among heterosexual people are common, but a relatively recent thing in most societies.
One of the foundations of friendship is equality. You've got to see one another as equals.
Heidi Reeder is a Boise State communication professor. She says as a society becomes more equal, more possibilities for true friendship emerge.
You know, throughout most of history, men and women have been kept relatively separate. It wasn't until really the feminist movement that women could move into the workplace and that they weren't kept as much in isolation.
With cross-sex friendship, Heidi says there's basically four types of initial attraction that can occur.
The first is, and the most common, is friendship attraction. Just, you know, gosh, I just really like this person.
Then there's the romantic.
I could see us being boyfriend, girlfriend, getting married, etc.
The last two are types of physical attraction. One is subjective. He's beautiful to me. The other, objective. I can see how other people think she's sexy. And the attractions between two people don't always match.
If there is unmatched attraction at some point, someone has physical sexual attraction, the other one doesn't, someone has romantic attraction, the other one doesn't, that they find a way to resolve that and let that go and really decide, you know what, friendship is actually the priority here.
With Steve and Katya, that's kind of what happened. Katya first met Steve in a mutual friend's dorm, a kind of casual get-together. She thought he was just so cool.
Sometimes he would even do, like, a denim-on-denim look, but it didn't look stupid. It, like, looked cool.
Denim-on-denim was cool to Katya, somehow. Subjective attraction. She initially had a kind of mini-crush.
I, like, really thought, I kind of dismissed it because he seemed, like, really cool. Like, too cool for me.
Katya had been a real introvert before college, and actually, so was Steve.
Seeing my friends every day, in school was enough social interaction for me. Like, I didn't need more. So I would go home and do homework, and on weekends I like wouldn't really hang out with people.
But neither knew that about the other. Steve says he noticed Katya in the, yeah, she's pretty hot sense, but he too dismissed the attraction. They were forming a cool friend group between their dorms. Both quietly figured a romantic relationship would just muck things up. The more their friendship developed, the more interesting it got.
So there's a lot of gender norms that go along with same-sex friendships, and you get the opportunity to kind of break some of those gender norms.
That's Heidi again, the Boise State researcher. She says folks report a strange freedom in cross-sex friendships. Guys get more vulnerable, reveal more of their inner lives, and women shed the caring listener role.
It allows one to access a sort of a different part of their personality. There's less conflict, there's less rules, you know, just be yourself.
Steve and Katya both tell me about their first summer as friends in Philadelphia. It was all art museums and parks, and often it was just the two of them. Katya called their time together liberating.
Like, it was nice to be able to just talk about art or talk about, like, what kinds of books I was reading or how I was feeling about my internship and not have to, like, delve into, like, you know, trying to, like, theorize about why, like, boys ghost girls.
And Steve says their talks had a unique richness that others didn't.
And not even, I feel like easy to talk to is one thing, but, like, a joy to talk to.
So Steve, eventually, he started having different feelings for Katya, more than friends. How does that happen? I ask UC Davis researcher Paul Eastwick why some friends become more than.
All I can say is that I'm pretty confident we don't know.
He studies how romantic relationships start.
We have no evidence that there's anything you can assess about two people before they meet that will have any bearing on whether they're going to like each other or whether they're going to form a relationship or anything along those lines.
A lot of it is a mystery. But Paul's learned a lot from studying couples and holding experimental speed dating events.
There weren't candles, but, you know, the lighting was a little low. And we actually set it up in an art gallery.
First off, he learned first impressions are all about looks. Both men and women made a big deal about physical attractiveness in choosing who they might date. But he also learned first impressions don't really matter in the long run. Only about 5% of speed daters ever saw each other again.
What we realized was that it's actually quite challenging to introduce people to each other from scratch when they have not met the other person before and expect to watch a romantic relationship appear before your eyes.
Also, they found how attractive you think somebody is can increase over time or wear off.
You will literally start to see somebody as less attractive because you find their jokes not particularly funny, right? You think their sense of humor is sort of that, like, crude, gross kind of sense of humor you're not into, and now they appear in your eyes less attractive than they did.
The looks are still there, but Paul says they've been influenced by other stuff. Again, this can be good or bad. Katya, for instance, eventually forgot about how cool Steve looked in all that denim. Instead, she saw how kind he could be.
It was his mom's 60th birthday, and he made her this, like, really, really beautiful, like, compilation, like, audio recording of all of the people in her life, like, talking about why they loved her.
Kindness beats cool.
It was just, like, natural to him.
That's the kind of thing you find out about a person over time. To Paul, that's an important point. He says most romantic relationships tend to bubble up out of your friend or acquaintance group, people you know for a while, people you may call friends.
And if you ask people in general, how long did you know each other before you started this relationship? The answer usually on average is about a year. And I think that answer often surprises people.
It's maybe surprising because apps are starting to change this dynamic. The low success rate in his speed dating events offers a clue as to why so many people find dating apps exhausting. To Paul, it's sort of like forming a relationship backwards, just becoming a couple before doing any of the homework.
Getting to know each other's friends, making sure that your friends like her and her friends like you, and that, you know, you sort of figure out how to navigate your way in this social network. Now you have to do it all from scratch. right? Like, that all would have been part of the prelude to you getting together, traditionally. And now it's something you have to navigate as one of your first tasks as a couple.
So, okay, back to Steve and Katya. They're perhaps the increasingly rare potential couple that's done their homework. They really know each other. And Steve, back in that Netflix glow, he had already staked his position, put his cards on the table, told Katya he had a huge crush on her. No turning back now. It was time for Katya's answer.
He was probably, like, pretty annoyed with me. I would have been very annoyed with me.
She didn't really give him a yes or no. Said she had to think about it. And then they went on winter break. Steve started doing the mental prep work for the no.
I was sure that she did not feel the same way. I was, like, positive. I think part of that was I didn't want to allow myself to think that she did like me, because then if she didn't, I'd be so much more sad.
Weeks went by, and then finally, over FaceTime, she told him, yes.
Like, I couldn't believe what I just heard. It was like a combination of disbelief and, like, ecstasy.
Katya took so long to answer because of a bunch of what ifs.
What if this is a bad idea? Like, what if this doesn't work? What if, like, we try it and it's, like, weird? And what if we're, like, not compatible?
What if this relationship fails and I lose a boyfriend and my best friend? A lot was at stake for her, too. Bill Rollins has studied friendship since the 70s, and he could have maybe shared some comforting science. He's found that couples that report they're also friends have better marriages.
Because since they were friends, it helped them get through really tough times in their relationship.
I tell Bill the story of Katya and Steve, how they started out as just friends before Steve finally made his confession. First off, Bill kind of takes offense at the phrase, just friends. Like, what do you mean just?
Because, you know, you have Aristotle saying, the 4th century BCE, you know, he says, you know, life is not worth living without friends. Okay. And I have heard people say that, you know, 100 years old, and their later adults say, my life wouldn't have been worth living without my friends.
He says that hierarchy of friends below or less intense than lovers is meaningless. One's not more important than the other in his mind, but there is an interplay.
I'll tell you this. When you look at people who have been friends before they become lovers, they're nicer to each other, typically. You know, when you do that dance of the scorpions, you know, I'll be wrapped around your finger, you'll be wrapped around my finger. And you, like, withhold commitment and, you know, no, I'm not going to text him. You know, she was text me, she can text, and play all that withholding of commitment.
Instead, he says friends are more likely to be open, to say what they want to say, and to give each other what he calls these two gifts.
I gift you the freedom to be independent from me, because I want what's best for you. So at the end of the college, if you find a job in Paris, you got to do that, Jad. You've always wanted to go to Paris, okay? So that's the freedom to be independent. But at the same time, I gift you the freedom to be dependent. And I say, but I just want you to know, if you need me, I'm here for you.
After a short semester and summer together as a couple, Steve and Katya both moved abroad to Spain and Russia, respectively.
When each of us are having bad days where we are, I'm so impressed and amazed at how she can handle them. She's very strong.
I ask both Steve and Katya, look, you could have had all this time together as a blissful couple, only a short drive apart. Do you regret not saying how you felt earlier, spending those years together as just friends?
I wouldn't trade them for anything.
No, I wouldn't change a thing.
It's a hard no. An answer, I imagine, after Bill's heart. For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.